And now I must be true to you and true to the Father God and speak to you about what I think he's talked to me about. And I usually check with him multiple times, right up almost before I get into the pulpit to make sure that he wants me to speak on thus and thus. So when I talk about this kind of weight, you could call it a burden. You could call it that. But let's turn and stand in honor to God's word, 2 Peter chapter 3. And oh my, did we evermore hear preaching on Wednesday night by Aaron Bounds. And his heart, his passion for the lost. And I hope that it impacted you like it did me. We're living in a generation that shakes off everything. We've got so many things coming at us, and I want the word of the Lord to change my heart, to impact me. I really do. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Tell me now if we have guys like this. Scoffers. Walking after their own lusts. And verse 4 is like to me a key verse. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. See, that is such a horrific attitude. You know, everything, nothing's changed. And while they say that, everything is changing around us. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing. And could you maybe take my monitors down just a little bit if you would? You guys do such a great job. Praise God. Just a little bit down, just a little bit if you would. It's always a constant challenge, I know, with the sound and with all this wonderful equipment we have. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Listen to that. Is that heavy? Reserved unto fire. Do you really think this generation is going to get by with what they're doing to the values that this nation was founded on? Do you really think that he's going to let everything coast and float and say nothing? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans says in chapter 2. Reserved unto fire, verse 7, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You know what? He's just been gone over the weekend. A couple days. 2,000 years, a couple days. He's just been gone over the weekend. He's coming back, see, to begin work again on Monday. The prophetical Monday, which would mean that would be tomorrow, which we're already leaning into. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Look at his heart. Sometimes I pray this prayer. Maybe oft times even, Lord, let me express your heart to your people. Let me tap into your heartbeat, to what you really, in your heart have for us. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Isn't that strong? A thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? And you know, and I know, I think we remember this, that in the New Testament, the Greek word for conversation is not just talking about somebody having some conversation. It's talking about behavior. So if you said in all holy behavior, that's what it's referring to. Not just what we say, but how we act and how we conduct our lives. All holy conversation and godliness. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh my, let's lift our hearts and ask God. Brother Barry, I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer. Let's ask God to speak to us through his word today. Really, really talk to us. Jesus.
Lord, I ask that you would move upon this service, God. As you've already done, we want to see something great. God, move upon our hearts, God. Change us. Give us more of a passion for the lost as you have a passion for the lost. Lord, we want to be like you in every way, Jesus. We seek to be like you. We want to be holy. We want to be separate. And we want you to be in our hearts. Bless the pastor as he gives the word, God, and strengthen him. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you lift your hands down? Love on the Lord just a little bit. Praise God. Lord Jesus, it's unto you. It's unto you, Lord. It's not me. It's you. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, help me to make room for the word of God, Lord. Help me to make room for the word of God. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord Jesus. Give me a heart to hear. Give me ears to hear the word of God. De Carasa, I take dominion over unclean spirits. I take dominion over unclean spirits. I take dominion over unclean spirits that harass us at times. I take dominion over the enemy in the name of Jesus. Loose, Lord. Loose our hearing. Loose our understanding, Lord. Loosen, Lord, our ears to hear as the learned, Lord. Katara Masha. Sototora Maklosanda la Pramachia. Satara Makandara Makondorombo Tondolo Bochina. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what it is. I just feel like we're almost there where I feel like I can minister, but you've really, really got to hear this. And I don't want you to hear it like just old pastor preaching another one of his colorful sermons. Brother Aaron, lead us in prayer. I'm going to keep doing this until I feel like we're ready. Would you ask God for a tender heart? I'm asking God for a tender heart.
Father, I just thank you right now that you give us tender hearts to be able to receive, Father. Lord, let us be receivers today of whatever you have, whatever you've laid on pastor's heart, Father. It is for this house and it is for this time, Father, to set the foundation for your will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Father, it's not a coincidence, Lord, that you've placed this burden on the shepherd's heart, on the man of God's heart, Father. Lord, let us receive it, Father. Let us receive the word with gladness, as your word says to do, Father. Give us tender hearts, Father. Till the soil of our hearts to be able to receive, so that the seed is planted and watered and brought to harvest for your glory, Father. You have an expected end for this message, Father. You have an expected end, an expected return on investment. And we thank you for that right now in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless your name, Father. Praise your name, Jesus.
Jesus' name, I worship you, Lord. Give me a, Lord, a hot heart, Lord. Give me a passionate heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Shakarambo. Pray what you feel, Jessica, the Holy Ghost on you. Pray whatever you feel, please.
Oh, Jesus, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, Jesus, and to your word today, Lord. God, we put ourselves low, Jesus, and we embrace the word that you have for us today. God, ask, Lord, that you would till up our hearts, Jesus, so that the ground is soft. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, Jesus, to hear and to grab hold of what you have to say to us. God, plant your word deep in our heart, Jesus, so that it will grow. God, we need your word in this hour more than anything, Jesus. God, we need to be more like you more than anything in this hour. God, help us to not only hear your word, but to, Lord, let it grow roots deep into our heart and to let it transform us, Jesus. God, help us to wrap ourselves around you and your word. In Jesus' name.
Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you clap to the Lord? Let's make a little holy hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! 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 Woo, Lord, in Jesus' name. Takara masatara moshe. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm sticking this humble title on this, what we don't have but desperately need. Let me talk, for instance, for just a few couple minutes about what we do have. And Sister Gretchen, that was not lost on me that you were coming in the door just about the time the service started. So if you will allow me to say what I would like to say. She's shaking her head, you know, nodding her head. She knows that can be dangerous. Already in an atmosphere of miracles here. Amen. And you know what? She's been working on this. And she's gaining. Yes. Yes. And I'm cheering her on. What are you working on? Just a thought. It's just a thought. Let me tell you some of the things that I appreciate that we have before I tell you what we don't have. You know, this is what I like about people. The Lord showed me this. If somebody tells me something they don't like and they can't tell me something they do like, they're not mentally sound. That's what he showed me years ago. If somebody comes to me and tells me only what they don't like, but they can't tell me what they do like, they're not mentally stable. You can take it for whatever you want. He gave it to me, never forgot it. Usually the stuff he gives me, I don't forget easily. So I want to tell you about the stuff that I love, that we do have, and then I'm going to talk to you about what the Holy Ghost showed me we don't have. I believe there is a tremendous amount of deep spiritual sincerity in our church. And when I name these, if you can sense or you can tie into it, lift your hand, say amen, whatever you want to do, but give me a witness, okay? I believe we have some of the most awesome worship that takes place in Columbus right here on Sunday mornings. I mean, we have a praise team. We have a worship team that is phenomenal. We have musicians that are phenomenal. Oh, I wish somebody would give me a witness. Praise God. We have anointed music. Praise God. We have a lot of love here. I really believe that. And we're working at that. We're not content, but there's a lot of love here in this house. There's a lot of love in this. Anybody give me a witness? Anybody felt the love of God? We want you to feel, literally, palpably feel the love of God. It's real. I believe there are wonderful people that we have in our church. We have a lot of great and wonderful people in our church. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of this is in God's grace and goodness. There is a good spirit here. There is a good spirit in this house. A good spirit. We have a great children's ministry. Amen. Thank God for Sister Casey, Barry, all these, the rest of these wonderful teachers that work, you know, and I know that Barry supports Casey. I don't know why, but I think it's something to do with they just kind of have this close connection, you know. But these wonderful teachers, and I mean, they just put their hearts on the line, and extremely proud of them. I believe in this church, and I'm going to say it this way. I believe there's an effort at dynamic preaching in this house. We try. I don't know if we succeed, but at least we try. Oh, I had to get by that one. Didn't want you to hear that the wrong way. I was hoping Brother Dinkins would call some of my titles, but he kind of focused on the prayer series. I was so disappointed. No, I'm teasing. You need to hear that prayer series. And by the way, you're going to love my voice. My voice. You're going to love my wife's voice when you hear it up there. It's so clear. It's clear as a bell. She hates that sound, but I think it's very romantic. Praise God. We have awesome teachers in this house. Do we have some awesome teachers? Teachers. Teachers and preachers in this house. He didn't know I was putting him in there too. Because he is all that and more. That's for sure. Love to tease him because he takes it so well. But wow, this incredible people, incredible staff. We have an unbelievable staff. I mean, really, of leaders. So I want to talk to you. So we just got so many things, so many wonderful qualities and things. And we're not content. We're not up here just, you know, bragging on our... No. If you knew all the meetings we're having trying to figure out what to do with the nursery, it's a sign of growth. We're being overwhelmed. We're being overwhelmed at times with the nursery. So we're going to knock a wall out. Yeah. Jasmine met me and she was just like sunshine on steroids. She heard the good report, what we've decided to do. We have got to create some more room for our little ones. Praise God. And then these awesome men led by Brother Dinkins out here on Thursdays working at the house. Amen. And here's what the awesome thing is. I don't even have to superintend it. It's just a commitment. And they're coming out here. We've got so many rooms almost ready to just launch. I mean, really, it's amazing. Amazing. Oh, my. So we have facilities on this property. Thank you, Brother Tim, for your dedication to this grass, which was one of the scariest things I ever looked at when we were considering buying this property, and his promise that, Pastor, if we get this place, you won't have to worry. And Brother Noah's been one of his mainstays, and Brother Paul and others and who else? Paul Cameron, that's right. We got about quartet, four musketeers. By the way, be sure to read the second page of the bulletin. We got Paul featured there at the top. Praise God. And rightly so. Okay. I'm driving down the road. And I'm praying. And most of you know, I mean. I have this thing called a prayer life, and it's not where I want it to be, but it's something real to me. Actually, I'm not really happy about much of anything inside of here, but I'm so thankful for all of you. But I was praying, and I had what might be called an epiphany, like an aha. You know, the way that God does stuff like that, it's like sometimes one of the ways that I know it's him speaking is it doesn't even fit anything I was thinking about necessarily. It just, boom, it's there, and you know that it dropped out of heaven on your heart. And it dawned on me that we're missing something vital. So to help you understand what that is, I'm going to refer to a news report from CNN politics that I saw on my iPad. And it was the CNN people describing something that happened in the last Republican debate. And this is what they said verbatim. For Rubio, it was now or never. See, we don't live like that. We don't live like that. It's now or never. And then it said, his attacks and those of Cruz weren't necessarily new in substance. Trump isn't a conservative. And I'm not saying this with any political, I just want you to hear what this commentator said about Rubio. So he writes and says, Trump is untrustworthy. That's not me saying it. It's a quote. And so on. And then he said, but what stood out was Rubio's sense of urgency to put himself center stage with the billionaire front runner, unquote. We have a longer list of things that we have that we've not even articulated. Marvelous youth program, awesome children's ministry, so many qualities and giftings intersect beneath this roof. But here's what I felt in the Holy Ghost God showed me. And it was simply this. Child, you don't have a sense of urgency. Would you believe I've been repenting this morning? Asking God to forgive me. It's not like, you know, we're out there robbing banks and doing crazy stuff. It's just, we're just busy doing all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things pulling on us. Things coming at us at the speed of life. At the speed of light. Do we know the truth? Do we have some truth here? Do we preach some truth here? Oh, come on now. Oh, my lands, let me give you some coffee. Do we preach some truth here? Come on now. Get me a witness somewhere. There is only one God, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We preach one God and his first name is Jesus. We have a marvelous revelation on that we do not apologize for. God is Father in creation, Son in redemption, and Holy Ghost in regeneration. But nowhere in my Bible do I see this expression, three separate persons. That is not in your Bible. Put it in your concordance. Put it in your search. Amen. And look for it. You won't find it in the Bible. That came along a few hundred years later. We have a revelation. And listen, revelation should not make us proud. Revelation should humble us. We have learned that there's more to this than just laying your hand on a television set and saying, I believe. Or laying our hands on a radio and saying, I believe. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, we ought to raise the flag. We ought to blow trumpets when that verse is quoted, because it is a revelation. Woo! On the plan of salvation. The full plan. And many of us, and I was one of them. I had obeyed some of that, okay? And it was real. And see, that's one of the things that I always want people to feel, that whatever, wherever they are in that plan, we honor whatever their experience has been. We just want to add to it. Yes. Don't want to take anything away. We just want to add to it. And I think that's an awesomely positive approach. See, the trouble is one very famous person said, they said, the trouble is you think you have time. See, that's the trouble. We know some things. And we yes some things. We understand by the grace of God. Don, we sat out there in that restaurant. Thank God for all these awesome restaurants. And had a Bible study. It was amazing. Hallelujah. Man, we studied baptism in Jesus' name until the cows came home. Praise God. That is not a light thing. Somebody wave your hand and say, that's a revelation. That's the way the apostles did it. Did you know that when you look baptism up, even in the religious encyclopedias, they will tell you that for the first 100 years of Christian history, everybody was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins in the first 100 years. That puts you up about the time that John the Beloved, the last apostle to die, around 100 AD. Everybody in the first century, amen, that came into the church of the living God was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a revelation. We've got something to be very excited about. But we don't. See, I'm not sure how we get this, but I'm going to preach for it and see if God can't drop it down on us. How many of you, and this is going to date me, and I hate to do that because you know how young I am. I'm just a young man up here, right? Compared to Methuselah. Okay. I love what is it, Don, you say when we come in and I shake your hand and he says, it's so cool. He goes, I'm so glad you made it today, Pastor. And I just love it. And I just almost should stop and ask him for one of his balloons because he's got so much talent. And that was one of our highlights at our picnic. That's a ministry, Don. That's a ministry. Praise God. If I let you carry some balloons in your pocket, would you let me baptize you in Jesus? I'm just talking now. Love that. He's my buddy. Does anybody remember the book that came out in 1988? And this was its title, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Anybody remember that? That was about, what, 28 years ago, 26, something like that? Do the math. Brother Dinkins, give me the math on it. About 28 years. Now listen, raise your hand again if you remember that book. Okay, and now see, we laugh today. But listen, it was Edgar Wisenant, who was a former NASA engineer and a Bible student, who predicted that the rapture would occur in 1988. And not only did he predict the year, but he said it'll happen somewhere between September 11th and September 13th. He published two books about it, the one that I just mentioned, and another one called On Borrowed Time. The first one, The 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988, 300,000 copies of that book were mailed free of charge to preachers all across America. 300,000. There are a little over 300,000 churches, so it sounds like he mailed them to all the preachers of the churches. Okay? But 4.5 million copies of it were sold in bookstores and elsewhere. Now, I'm gonna tap into something here. It stirred the pot. And even though, see, you and I, we have a capacity for urgency if something can tap into it. We have a capacity inside us to understand. God built it there. We live like we just got all the time in the world and everything's going to go on as it has. And the enemy, we're like that frog, that proverbial frog that got boiled to death because the temperature changed just so incrementally, tiny and minutely every second. And the frog didn't realize that he had a chance to jump out at any given second. And the waters boiled him to death because it just happened so slowly. That's what's happening to this world and our culture. We just think like everything's going to continue like it has to this point. Has anybody tapped into this video on the internet? Strangewarnings.com. I've only made it through a few minutes, and I'm telling you, I want to come back and watch all of it, but it's so startling. Here is the deal. 88 reasons why God will come back in 1988. But what I remember is it stirred people up in our churches. Many of our churches had, because folks got a hold of this, got this book and read it and shared it with others. And they began to challenge people and preach this idea. And our churches got stirred up, and I heard some stories, but some of our churches experienced a fresh and new revival. Sister Gwen, were you in David Fuller's church then? Do you remember that that church was one of them that had an influx of new families and new people? Do you remember how many came in about that time? Yeah. 15 families. Let me ask you this. What would happen to us if 15 new families came into this church in the next few weeks? See, here's the deal. Even though it wasn't correct, he missed it by at least almost 3 decades, okay? He missed it by 28 years. But what happened was God used it to stir some people up. Within us is a bank that can be tapped into. I am telling you, if we don't wake up, God will use things to awaken us. God will use stuff to stir us. I don't want to wait. The Bible tells me, commands me to stir my own self up. We're living like we got all the time in the world. And we don't. But because they got stirred up, God said in one place, I believe it was in Isaiah, it troubled him. He said, there's nobody that's stirring himself up to seek me. There's nobody stirring themselves up to seek me. It bothers me. Nobody's stirring themselves up. Some lady said, the last time my son got stirred was when he swallowed a spoon when he was just a little boy. That's kind of like us. We're so busy. We're so busy with our lives, with our jobs, with our families. And ladies and gentlemen, I understand. I mean, it's not bad stuff. It's good stuff, but stuff that pulls on us. But I remember when I first saw the truths that we preach. I remember, Brother Deakins, when I first saw the plan of salvation in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and other places. And Brother and Sister Abby were so patient with us and so kind. And I remember we stopped at a gas station to get some gas. And I mean, I had just gotten the revelation. It's a revelation of the plan of salvation. And I got out of the car. I wanted to witness to somebody so bad. That gas pump was not very responsive. You know what I mean? But I was just a teenager, but I wanted to witness to somebody so badly, so badly. Hallelujah. And I mean, I God knows, but I was dangerous. If anybody had gotten around within 10 feet of me, I was dangerous. I was ready to witness to a parking meter. I'm telling you, I had seen. Do you remember when you first came in and the day that you got baptized or the night that you got, anybody lift your hand, you got the Holy Ghost. Were you on fire? Were you on fire in those days? Do you remember that when we first came in, we had an urgency? See, it comes with the new birth. When we're fresh in the Holy Ghost with that package, not only comes tongues, there comes an urgency to share it with others. Lift your hand. Let's ask Him for that again. Oh, Father, give me. Give me again. Give me again. Give me again. An urgency, Lord. Stir my heart. Would you pray it with me? Stir my heart, Lord. Stir my spirit. Stir my heart, God. I am blessed. 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 But I go many a day, Lord. We go many a day with absolutely no witness to anybody because we have many things here. But we don't have a sense of urgency. And for that, God, for that, I ask your forgiveness. Truly, truly. There's a short article that came out just days ago. I'm not an alarmist, but I'll probably sound like one. It was entitled, very short article, "For the Record, Is Iran Working Toward an EMP Strike?" February 22nd, 2016, 6:29 a.m., written by Tom Orr. There are signs that Iran may be working toward an electromagnetic pulse strike on the United States. Once Iran has a nuclear weapon, who's helping them toward that goal, I wonder? See, sometimes we are so stupid. $150 billion for what? We didn't even get our hostages back at that point. It was utter and abject stupidity. But listen to this. Once Iran has a nuclear weapon, they are ready to launch an EMP attack against us. Former CIA Director James Woolsey told the Blaze TV's For the Record, "I think they have conducted launches of satellites of the type that you and in the direction you would want for an EMP attack." You don't understand maybe what that means, but it's going to be explained in a few sentences. In addition to those tests, Woolsey says, the Iranian military has laid the groundwork for a religious justification for an EMP strike. In 2010, a military textbook called Passive Defense was published, which included a section that outlined how an EMP strike would be compliant with Islamic law. Listen to this. The deaths from electromagnetic pulse are all indirect, said Woolsey. They come from destroying the electricity grid and thereby not being able to operate the other 17 infrastructures in the United States, including food, water, and finance. Everything else operates off electricity. And by not being able to operate those, you will have lots of people die of thirst, die of starvations, die of social disruption. The idea, as I understand it, was that since one is not directly attacking or killing humans, Woolsey said, it doesn't come under the stricture of some other ruling or idea that one should not use nuclear weapons against people. The Congressional EMP Commission spent nearly a decade studying the issue and concluded that as many as 90% of all Americans could die in the first year after an EMP strike. Wow. Wow. One nuclear weapon designed to take out our electrical grid detonated over the middle, above mid-United States, could wipe out, this is what they're saying, not me, they're saying, all our computers, things that are driven by computers, which is almost everything. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we dance on the brink of a nuclear holocaust. We dance on the brink of changes. That's why this man, this guy, this analyst that has been right with the last five major shifts in our society and in our culture has put together this video called strangewarnings.com because he's saying, get ready, it's coming. There's another major shift, and we've been correct with all of the last several that we've predicted. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The sense is we can be lulled to sleep with the prosperity that's in our country, with the blessings of food on shelves and cars that run and cheap gas. We can be lulled into this apathy and this indifference that everything will just keep on going the way that it is. But in one moment, a rogue nation could change our lives forever. Lift your hands with me right now, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Stir me. Would you ask him, stir me, Lord. Stir me, Lord. I need a sense of urgency. I need, Lord, to be stirred. I need to be challenged. I need to get a hold of myself. I need to be a witness. I need to be a witness in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I used to have that, Lord. Please forgive me, God. I've been busy there and yon and back again. But would you please bring it back? Because it seemed to come with the package. It was a package deal. And when I found God and was born of water and the Spirit, I didn't have to ask him for it. It came with it. What does that tell us? And what did he? How did he sum up his own life? He said this in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Some of you think that I'm a soul winner. Do you think I'm a soul winner? Do you think I'm a soul winner? I'm nowhere near what I should be. Brothers and sisters, I am so unhappy with myself. I should have at least 50 more people in this building by now that I've personally won. I should have 25 more couples here that I personally should have won. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, Church of the Living God. We're on a roller coaster. But God, listen, God is not going to be patient forever. God isn't going to put up with people sticking their fingers in his eye forever. And the Bible prophesies it. Listen to this. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I promise you, we are closer, much closer to the coming of the Son of God than you or I have ever imagined. And if God would honor a book that wasn't true, but it stirred the readers, what would he do with people that believe the truth and operate out of a sense of urgency to reach others? Let's love him. Woo. Hallelujah. I challenge you to throw off those filthy things, those camouflages, those arrogances. I challenge you, those hesitancies, to throw off anything and everything. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. You are a soul winner. I promise you. I prophesy to you. You are a soul winner. According to my Bible, I'm preaching to soul winners because it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. If you've gotten the Holy Ghost, you are a soul winner. Hallelujah. The first effect wasn't a fire escape. The first effect of receiving the Holy Ghost is supposed to be that we are found witnessing. so tame. I told you I had something serious. It was like a hall moment. I don't know if I ever thought of it like that. You don't have a sense of urgency. My people don't have a sense of urgency. You think things are going to, you know, in less than a millisecond, an EMP could toss us back into the 1800s. And we have this terrible relationship with Iran. They are a rogue nation. Rogue, crazy. Jesus loves and died for the Iranians, but I'm telling you, their leadership is crazy. And we just helped fund their nuclear ambitions. Tell me that I'm not preaching the truth. You know, they use the word deal. We're going to make a deal. It always bothered me, Bob, when I hear that word. We're going to make a deal with the people that call us the great Satan. Are you kidding? We're going to make a deal with people that think we're the embodiment of Satan himself. How do you make a deal with the devil? Why were they? I'm told that in that last session with the Iranian leaders, they got gleeful. They were so excited. Why? Because we were had. That's why. And I don't agree. And again, I'm not trying to be political, but you know, I'm following this mess. I'm sorry. I'm following this campaign. You know, I'm not here to promote anybody but Jesus. Hallelujah. But I got ears and I've got eyes and I've got a good mind. Hallelujah. And oh, it's awesome sometimes when we stop emoting long enough to think a little bit. You didn't get that, did you? Emote, you know. We're into emotions and we love that. It's awesome, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Just remember that the righteousness came before the peace and joy. As a matter of fact, the righteousness is the foundation and the basis for the peace and joy. Carl F. H. Henry said it this way: the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Anybody, you business folks have heard of Jim Rohn? Listen to him, amazing speaker. I think I've got at least one or two of his books. One of them is like Seven Steps to Success. He died just, what, not long ago, a year or two ago? Three, not long ago. One of the most captivating speakers that you've ever heard in your life. What most people don't know was he had been a one God, Jesus name preacher. Wow. Anybody ever hear of Tony Robbins? Yeah. Anthony Robbins? Yeah. Ever hear of him? Raise your hand if you've heard of him. You know, Awake the Giant Within and other famous classics. He sat in a session where Jim Rohn was teaching. By the way, Jim Rohn's daddy, I knew. He was the superintendent of the Idaho UPC district. And he made a directional choice. There's something that happened. I think it had something to do with his marriage. And he kind of basically walked out of the ministry and went into the you know, the encouragement, the success. And that's not all bad. He's just an amazing guy. And I've listened to him, and I plan on listening to him, even though he's dead and gone. His tapes, his clips, the YouTube, go up and look at him on YouTube. But he had been a one God, Jesus name preacher. And it was Anthony Robbins sat in his session and got fired up. And as a teenager, I think he was only 16. It was a oneness, one God preacher that stirred up Anthony Robbins to get up and do something with his life. I would like to stir you up today. Listen to this. This is what Jim Rohn said. Without a sense of urgency, desire loses its value. without a sense of urgency. Listen, I can't tell you when I see Chastity and I shake her hand, I remember the days when it was just her girls, and her girls are amazing. They just told me the precious, beautiful little things and fun to interact with. But now their mom's in church. She's back. I could dance all day about that. And God's working on Gabriel. Mark it down. He's working on her husband. God's working on, mark it down, mark it down. I feel like a prophetical something on me right now. God's working on Gabriel. Yeah, mark it down. It's He's talking to him. He's talking to him. Come on now. He's talking to him. He's drawing him. Something's happening with Gabriel. Oh, yes, it is. And it's exciting to see new people in our church. Brother Paul Cameron, who we celebrated, and thank you, Peggy, this amazing editor over here. Hallelujah. Our bulletin, I sure hope you let her know how she's entertaining. She has a gift of writing, and she spends probably somewhere around 8 hours or so at least on each one. And she doesn't complain. She was up till 4 a.m. working on things the other day. What an amazing person Peggy is. But we celebrated Paul Cameron. But Paul, I remember days years ago when we'd see you maybe once or twice a year. And now he's here, and he's one of our leaders. He's one of our helpers. He has this amazing ministry of helps. Somebody loved him. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a little mama over here who's got a food anointing on her. Whatever you do, be careful, bless her and treat her with great dignity and honor. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to hurt the food gal. Hallelujah. I want to bless her. But she's a witness. She talks to her kids and her grandkids. She's a witness. She's a witness. I'm telling you, I've seen her bring people to church. It's blown my mind through the years. Diane, you're awesome. But we need some more, Diane's. We need some more soul winners. I'm telling you, you hear me say this, I'm going to say it again. And then God will remind you that we are running out of time. And you don't understand, but I'm trying to help it get a little clearer. We are literally running out of time. So whatever you're doing, you'd better put some witness in there. You'd better put some soul winning in there. You'd better put some burden in there. You'd better put some compassion in there. Lift your hand and let's ask God to help us. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, the gospel is only good news. If it gets there in time, I will never forget. When I pastored in Fond du Lac for 19 years, this one night, when 4 of our teenagers in that town were killed in a fatal car accident, I will never forget. 4 teenagers, all of a sudden, they're gone. In a small town, that'll do a number. Yeah. Say not ye, Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know somebody that you have been too quiet around. You know somebody you have been too silent around. You know you have a witness. God has given you testimonies. And isn't it beautiful to look over here and see Cody and Christy and their beautiful family. Look, Cohen, he's my little buddy. Hallelujah. He's an amazing little guy. And he brings some sunshine to my life. And that whole family does. That's part of our growth. Aren't they beautiful? That's part of our growth. I love this family. I love to see new faces. But I'm telling you, there's more than 15 families out there that could come in here. If you would sit down and explain it. I'll never forget when Barry, hey man, we were dealing with Joe Marshall and we were trying to somehow get him into the Church of the Living God. And finally, well, I don't know what it was, but Barry just got fired up. He's got this sweet, you know, demeanor, and you know, it's kind of a brainiac type, you know, guy, smart. I think it's physics, and he gave me this amazing devotional. It's like, I'm trying to stay up there with him. He got fired up. You see, it's not how smart you are. You say, I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I'm glad you said that, because I've got one of the most simple Bible studies I've ever seen. I've got a bunch of these, and they're so simple, and they're baptizing people in Jesus' name all over the country and other parts of other countries. And I got to sit for about 3 days next to the soul winner that authored these. Hallelujah. It's so simple. It almost teaches itself, and I think you might laugh at that, but it's true. It was designed to be that way. Amen. Water and Spirit. Go up to waterandspiritnow.com and you can read some more. I've got the DVD that teaches us how to teach these. I've got the adult manuals. I spent $100. Amen. Glory. I must calm down. Listen to this. I came across an amazing quote. It was longer, but it really spoke to me. From Douglas Coupland, okay? This is what he said. You should be spreading the good word. You should be etching the good word onto the glass scanning beds of library photocopiers. You should be scraping the truth onto old auto parts and throwing them off bridges so that people digging in the mud in a million years will question the world. You should be carving eyeballs into tire treads and onto shoe soles so that your every trail speaks of thinking and faith and belief. You should be designing molecules that crystallize into poems of devotion. You should be making barcodes that print out truth, not lies. You shouldn't even chase or throw away a piece of litter unless it has the truth stamped on it. Hallelujah. Your new life will be tinged with urgency as though you're digging out the victims of an avalanche. If you're not spending every waking moment of your life living the truth, if you're not plotting every moment to boil the carcass out of the old order, then you're wasting your day. The lights softened. Brother Rick, if you would, soften the lights. Oh, that speaks to me. Because I remember. I do. I remember this urgency that I was born with. When I was born of the water. And born of the Spirit. And we talk a good game. And that's the problem. We talk. We talk. A good game. Why do I call Ann Smith? I know what it's going to be. It's going to be a long list of her difficulties and troubles. That's okay. I want to tell her, and I keep telling her this. Ann, remember my Barnes & Noble friend? She's coming back. She wants to come back. The first time she came, the word hit her like crosshairs between the eyes. I'm sure that was just an accident, right? She's on her way back. But I want to call her and talk to her because I want to give her some hope. I want to be involved in soul winning on every level. We dabble in it because we really don't have a sense of urgency. Sister Meadows, tell us what you, Sister Rogers called you, your old buddy out in Urbana-Champaign, the home of the Illini. I'm not even saying that right now. Illini or Illini or however. We usually beat them every year. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, the University of Illinois. What did she say is happening?
Tell it to They have about 5 services for 5 different nationalities, and they're reaching people from every walk of life, and it's just a bunch of ministries. She was telling me about that they were doing to reach the addicts, not just drug addicts, but people that have destructive habit type addicts. They've seen people delivered from all kinds of addictions, smoking, overeating, just self-destructive things. They found keys and avenues to help that are based in finding the root and then taking the root to the Lord. It's pretty powerful.
It's beautiful. Would you stand? This was an amazing conversation. Tell them how many ministers are on their staff now.
25. They started the church about, I don't know how many years ago.
35 years ago. They preached there. They had probably 1 or 2 preachers on their staff. Mm-hmm. Now they have 25. Wonder why. Tell these beautiful people, Miss Gorgeous, tell these beautiful people what she said was the key to deliverance from whatever it is, pornography, addiction, alcohol, drugs, what the key.
She said there's always one root to every addiction. She told me about I'll tell you 2 things she told me. One was a woman that could not quit smoking for years and years and years. And they found out the root, it was something in her heart tied to unforgiveness. And once she said, I am willing to forgive, she had just covered it over and let her heart get hard. Once she was willing to forgive, there wasn't even a desire for a cigarette. There's been no desire. It wasn't a prayer. It was finding the root and then walking through. Then she said there was another woman that had an addiction. I don't remember the addiction, but they went to her heart and found out that she had been molested by her brother when she was a young girl. And she didn't even realize it. But when she began to talk about being molested, she started crying. And they just kept asking her questions, why? And it finally dawned on her. She said, I've always blamed myself. I did something wrong for that to happen. And they had to explain to her, it had nothing to do with you. You not only have to forgive him, which she felt like she had, but you have to forgive yourself that you did not do anything to cause that.
So the point that she was making that she's found, mm-hmm, is that forgiveness is the key to deliverance.
Yes. Well, sometimes it's wounds and hurts. It's different roots. But once you find the root and deal with it according to God's word, people are just delivered from all types of addictions.
Oh, hallelujah. Worship with me. God wants to give us keys. As our musicians come, God wants to give us keys. God wants to give us keys, but somebody needs to tap into a burden. Somebody needs to tap into an urgency. Somebody needs to break into a place where the compassions of Jesus will operate again in us. And forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us really, genuinely, Lord. No excuses, God. Forgive us, Lord. A church that has experienced forgiveness revivals. A church that has experienced revelation. The goodness of God. Lord, I just pray together with these beautiful people. I pray. And thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Don't take anything away that you've given us. But would you please, in the name of Jesus, would you add an urgency. Give us an urgency. Oh, but I can be tantare much. Oh, ketarra musha. Somebody. Hallelujah. as Brother Thad sings, I'm telling you, there's somebody that's locked up, and you're the key to that lock. They're frozen, and you're the key. You're the key to